You know, Rabbi Queens was right next to Rabbi Hatch.
Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam. We're in Hilchas Tainis, the laws of fasting. Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud Zayin, Chapter 1, Law 17. In the Maznaim text, it's page 32 and 34. And we discussed the fact that if a congregation is fasting and then the reason to fast has ended, that they don't have to finish the fast if it happened before Chatzos. That was yesterday's discussion. We close out the chapter with the following. Whenever there's a fast day that was decreed on the congregation because of different forms of distress, what would they be doing on those fast days? The Bezdin, the Jewish court, and the elders would sit in the shul, and they'd investigate the actions of all the people in the city. Some after the end of the Shachar's prayer, until midday, and they would try to remove the stumbling blocks of those averos. And they would warn and preach and investigate concerning people of Balei Chomes, people who steal and sinners. People who are sinners, and separate them from that. Balei Zro, and people of great strength who exert their power in a negative way. Also, and they lower them. And similar things like that. So, in other words, the first half a day, they really were looking to find what were the faults in this community that was making all these things happen. Right? That's after Shachris, whenever davening ended, till midday. That's what they were busy the whole time, trying to find out who are the culprits, who are the perpetrators, how are we going to correct these issues. And now from midday until the nighttime, that too was divided up into two parts. Revi'a yom, one quarter of the day, meaning half of the second half of the day. Karim bebrachas uklolos shabbatera. They would read the blessings and the curses that are in the Torah. Now obviously, it doesn't mean, literally from the Torah necessarily. I mean, it doesn't take, 4 hours to read that section of the Torah, right? But these are only on the fast days that they decreed because of tzaras, as we'll see in the next chapter, to get the people to do tshuva. We know in another half hour, we're going to be laning from somewhere else. We're going to be laning from Vayichal, because those are instituted for the four fast days corresponding to what revolves around the destruction of the temple. But they would be reading this part. And why would they do this? Shenemar, because King Solomon says, Musar Hashem bini altimos. The Musar, the ethical teachings of Hashem, my son, do not be repulsed by it. Valtokots betokachto, and don't be repulsed from the rebukes. In other words, you have to listen to the rebukes. Umaftirin, and then they would say, Hamaftir binovi, from the prophets, betokachos miniatsara. With different words of rebuke that relate to the different sufferings that are going on over here. So in other words, so they'd be reading from Parshas Bechukosai and things like that, and they'd read Haftorahs, etc. So again, I don't know, I guess it means somewhere in the second half of the day. Probably it means Mincha time. I guess they would daven Mincha in the second half of the day. And during Mincha, that's what they would lane, and that's what say the Haftorah from. Goes with the next point. And the last quarter of the day, Mispal Mincha, they daven Mincha, Mischanim, Mizokim, Mizvarim, Kvikoichem. And they'd supplicate and scream out and confess according to their ability. So it's fascinating. They'd be doing all, for the first half of the afternoon, they're reading from the Torah, reading the Haftorah, Stamazoi. And then the second half of the afternoon, they'd be davening mincha and davening out Hashem for the rest of the day. So again, that's what the fast days are all about. It's to get the people to find the problems, correct them, come up with solutions, and cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Now the second chapter is going to now go into details as to what particular types of distressing events would bring a Bezdin to decide that there should be a fast for the community. And that is the entire second chapter, and then the third chapter moves on to specifically about not having rain.
We still do this?
Well, no, we don't do this. I mean, you'd have to have a proper Beis Din, and again, a lot of these things, you know, we mentioned yesterday, people are not strong enough to fast anymore. It's hard enough to, the four fasts that we have to do the whole year, let alone adding on more. So we don't do it, but still, certainly even if we're not going to fast, but there, you know, would be reasons to wake oneself up and do tshuva and daven Hashem. Not everything necessarily comes with a fast. A lot of it has to do with crying out to Hashem and other things. But these could be considered calamitous events. So what's the practical application for us? If these things would happen in our communities or in Eretz Yisrael, certainly there'd be what to think about to do tshuva for, at least, if we're not going to fast. Okay, so let's see what they have. Perek Sheni. These are the calamities that can happen to a congregation for which we must fast and we must cry out to Hashem for them. This is the list now, and the list is brief, and the rest of the chapter will detail each one in much more elaboration. Al hatzaras sonei Yisrael Yisrael, the distress that the enemies of the Jews do to the Jews, right? Could be good old-fashioned whatever, war, whatever. The enemies of the Jews want to destroy us. Number one. Number two, al cherev, on the sword. This means if a non-Jewish nation wants...
How much is the fun, it says here?
No, no, you have to go down.
Oh, down and up
and up? Yeah, you have to go down. Oh. Sorry. Oh. It's supposed to go down. You guys should be going down, not across. It's not like, it's like the Ten Commandments style. You gotta go down, not across. Okay.
It's so balanced.
Yeah, I know. Valacherev means if another nation other than the Jews want to just pass through, they don't want to fight, and we'll discuss this later. They want to pass through your country, that's also a dangerous situation, as we'll discuss later on. So, we'll discuss it. Valadever, on a pestilence. Valchayara, wild animals attacking. Valarba, and locust. Almost sounds like the 10 plagues here. Valhechasil, on a blight. Chasil is another type of arba, locust. Different type of locust, I'm sorry. Vala shidafon, that's a blight. Food gets destroyed like a potato blight or things like that, where the food is rotting and things like that.
They have a black blight and a yellow blight.
I'm gonna get to that. Valhayerokon, and the yellow blight, from Yerok. Yellow blight. Valhamapoles, and on buildings falling.
So the blights are food diseases?
Yeah. And on sickness. Valamazonos, on issues of food. Valamotor, and on rain. Each one's going to be elaborated on, so there's nothing to ask right now. We'll get to it, each one. Okay, base. Kol ir sheish batzor mikalelu, any city that has a calamity of this type, osa ha'ir misana, that city fasts, umasras, and they call out, at Shetavar Hatzorah, until the terrible situation passes. Bechol Sivosel, and all those that are around them. Misanos, they fast, blow Masrius, and they don't call out. Again, Masrius here can also means blowing the trumpets. So they don't do that. In other words, they fast, but they don't have to blow the trumpets. It means in that, general area. In other words, I guess, you know, the suburban region nearby. But places that are much farther away, they don't fast. Because then we have to fast forever, because there isn't a city in the world that doesn't have a problem. So in other words, it's local enough that it pertains to them. You know, let's say Thornhill would fast for if there'd be a problem in Toronto, even Richmond Hill would. But if you're already going to Orangeville, you know, I don't know if that would be close enough to be considered that.
Zephyr.
Rabbi, when it says fast until the problem ceases, I mean, does that mean every day one would fast?
It depends how they would decree it. Depends on what they feel the people are able to handle. But it's possible. I mean, you fast and they eat at night. Remember.
Ramadan.
We'll see. Ramadan. we'll see. It's not going to be this day after day. You'll see when it comes to rain, it says Monday and Thursday and things like that. So you'll see. So even though they fast, but they don't blow the trumpets, but these people outside of this city, they certainly beg Hashem for mercy for them. So they daven, but they don't blow shofars. And in any case, you don't call out and you don't blow trumpets on Shabbos. Kamo Shmarno has already mentioned earlier in the last chapter. Except chutz mitzaras hamazonos, except for the trouble, the stress of sustenance, shetzolakim aleh avil b'Shabbos, that we cry out even on Shabbos. Aval ema srinol b'chatzos b'Shabbos, but you never blow a shofar on Shabbos. Shofar is you won't blow on Shabbos.
If you're weak from not eating food, you're not going to be crying out too much. You're weak to cry out.
Well, you know what? If you're in trouble, you will. God forbid. The person's suffering, they are. Okay, now let's get to the details. Gimel. Alatzor, son of Yisrael, Yisrael, the sufferings that come from the enemies of the Jews to the Jews. Kate said, let's have an example of that. For example, Goyim Shabbos, Larach, Mucham Yisrael. The non-Jews are battle ready to fight a war against the Jews. And that's what it says in the book of Divrei Hayamim. It says, afterwards the Bnei Amon and the Bnei Moab came. They came to rise up against King Yehoshaphat. And what did Yehoshaphat do? He went to seek out from Hashem and he called out a fast for all the Jews. So it's an example where a Jewish king was being threatened by non-Jewish nations for war. So he called out a fast day. Or another example, Alito Mehemas, or the government is going to take a hefty, unreasonable tax against the Jews. Olikach Miyodom Eretz, or to take some land away for them. Olik Zeralem Gzera, or to make a decree against them. Afil b'mitzvah kala, even that they wouldn't be allowed to keep a little mitzvah. In other words, any kind of mitzvah to take them away from their religion, they'd fast against this. So, you know, clearly, I don't recall, but, you know, before, they went into Gaza to take away, the Israelis take the land away from the Yidden in Gush Katif, you know, that'd be something to fast about. Right? That was definitely, that'd be, the government is threatening to take land away from you. That would be.
I don't think they proclaimed one, but it wasn't a march that was intercepted when, you know, everybody was trying to take these buses and the soldiers stopped.
I understand, but that would be something that, I'm giving you an example, would fit into that category. Certainly when the Jews were under great oppressors who would, you know, make laws against Judaism. These are all things that would fit into this category.
This says when the Gentiles come to take away.
Well, it's, because you see, Rambam, I guess, would never have imagined that Jews would do this, right? Right? So these are situations to fast and to blow trumpets until Hashem has compassion on us. And all the cities around this, Misanim would also fast. But they don't blow the shofars. Elim came unless they're blowing the shofars to gather up people to help them, then they would blow the shofar. Okay, Dal.
Wait. A question on this.
Yeah.
I never heard from any Holocaust survivors about them doing these community fasts, and that would be a prime example where they should have been doing it.
Well, the Holocaust, they were
before.
When they were survival. Coming, the Germans were marching into their town.
Again, the only thing I could say is the only way out of that is they feel people are too weak to fast nowadays. That's all.
Didn't you say they have to have a Bez Din? So there's no Bez Din.
No, not a Bez Din. No, and if the Jews got together in Toronto, said we should fast. They should fast.
Rabbi of the city said.
You know, if the
but they wouldn't just put them in the ghetto.
Listen, and there were historically. I mean, I know there's lots of stories where they did. There were fasts. But again, as time passed, people are weak, and the rabbis make these judgment calls.
3-day fast on
Purim. I don't know. Nowadays, like I said yesterday, the most you get nowadays is a half-a-day fast, and I have heard a number of those half-day fasts. When it doesn't rain in the Eretz Yisrael for a long period of time, they'll make a half-day fast. But, you know, we're not strong enough to fast. That's what we're saying. We just don't have it. Maybe we should have. If it would have fasted, maybe things would have been different, but I don't know. Okay, so let's come back to Dal. Al Acherif, what do you mean by the sword, Ketzad? Afilu Cher Shosol, even if it's a sword of peace. What does that mean? Kagon, for example. Let's say one non-Jewish nation is at war with another non-Jewish nation, and the Jewish people are in between. So one nation says, just let's go through. We just want to go through a fly zone, whatever you call it, you know.
No-go zone.
You know, to be able to fly over your country, but now it's to have soldiers pass through the country. See, even that, afal pi, she'ein beinei, beinei somachom, even there's no war between the Jews and the other two sides. That's not a problem at all. Harei zetzor, that is a calamity, umis'anin, and you fast for that. And some have the text, you also blow the shofars alel. She'nemers, it says, how do we know it's a calamity? Because it says in the curses to the Jewish people when we're going to suffer, it says when before the curses, when the blessings, it says, a sword will never pass in your land. Ever. just to pass. We're not talking about killing people, pass. That means it's a blessing if you don't have other countries passing through your land with a sword. So what's the opposite mean if they want to come through? It's a bad thing. Miklal, that implies, she'ri'iyas ha'muchamatzar. Even if you have to see soldiers passing through your nation, that is already considered a calamitous event. Right? So, because, and the greatest example is when Paro Necho wanted to pass through Eretz Yisrael in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, and King Yoshiyahu, he did not allow him to pass through. And we got into big trouble from that. That's when he got, Yoshiyahu got killed.
But
right?
We're worried about
and he said, he didn't ask the Navi, and he said, why should these guys go through? It says in the blessings that if things are good, no enemy will go through even for peaceful purposes. And he felt he had cleaned up the Jewish people to the point they were all tzaddikim. He didn't know that they weren't such big tzaddikim, so he wouldn't let Paro Necho go through. And boom, all kinds of problems happened out of that. So you never know. When there's, you know, tens of thousands of non-Jews with swords going through your country, you don't know what to expect. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing to have warriors going through your country. And that's something you have to fast for, that it, you may not be able to stop them, but at least there shouldn't come any harm to you in that process. Okay.
Even if they're not coming through as warriors, they're coming like when the military ships dock in Haifa, and the soldiers, the Americans come for liberty, they do lots of damage. Just
no, the question is if they're going, if these are soldiers going through you to fight another country, not just them, not peacekeeping forces or something.
Not allies.
Let's say A and B are at war, and you're in the middle, so they're going to go through. These are people who already have war on their minds, so that is a tsar if they're going through your
but
place.
It exposes your land to attack from your
yeah, I mean, you can see the problem easily. If A goes through the land, so B looks at the Jews as their enemies. Why'd you let them through? I mean, that, to me, seems pretty straightforward. So what happens if B kills A? What do you think B is going to be doing after they kill A?
You'll see.
They're going to come after the Jews, right? Because you let them go through. So that certainly would be a problem. Okay, hey. Va'al ha-dever. Right? So a plague. Okay, so you got to understand this. You need to have a doctor here. What's the difference between a plague and a sickness? It's coming up a couple later. But a plague comes. Va'ezu dever. What's a plague? Now, it's not going to tell you what kind of plague, but it's going to tell you, you know, of people dying from disease of some kind. And we're just going to give you the numbers. You know, I don't know what it is in Ontario, like how many people have to die from swine flu or something for them to say it's an epidemic proportions, et cetera, et cetera. So let's see. Ir sheyesh bo chamesh meos ragli. Let's say this is the numbers we work with, the ratios. A city with 500 people. Okay. We're talking about men and we're not including children over here. Okay. 500 men. V'yotze men ur shloisha meisim b'shloisha mizrech hazeh. Three people die, one day after, in other words, 3 days in a row, at least one person dies. Okay? Per a population of 500. So that is, it's less than 1%.
Five people would be 1%.
Yeah, so it's three, it's even less. So it's like 0.6% die in a 3 day period of time. Yatsu biyom echad, to exclude if they all die in 1 day, over a barium, or 4 days, ain't there, it's not considered a plague. It's gotta be every day one. Or more, but let's say two, two, and two. But it can't be, it has to be one, 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 the minimum. Hoya ba'elef, let's say there's 1,000 people. So what do you have to have? The number has to be the same ratio. V'yasmen ashisha meishim b'shoshi yom zerch. So you have to have 6 people dying, 1 day apart. And that is a dever. If they all die in 1 day, or barbar in 4 days, ain't a dever. That's not a dever. And that is the calculation. So let's say you have a population in Toronto, you know, which is, let's say the GTA, or whatever. So let's say it's 3 million. Let's try to make whole numbers, right? So, you know, let's extrapolate. If 1,000 needs 6, so 10,000 needs 60, 100,000 needs 600. Okay, so 6 million would need 6,000, so half it would be 3,000. So 3,000 people would have to die in 3 days. That would be, I'm just saying for contemporary examples, in Toronto, God forbid, if 3,000 people died in 3 days, over the course of 3 days, then that would be considered a plague. I don't know. I mean, a plague is a plague. I mean,
when
Jews
three
and
people
non-Jews
die
are dying.
Of the plague, it means nine people.
I don't know.
Right?
I don't know. But I assume sickness knows no difference between Jew and non-Jew. I would guess.
I mean, because Jews were more clean.
I understand. Okay, it's a
Rabbi,
debatable
this is not three
point.
In 3 days. It's nine in 3 days.
Who said?
When three people die in three consecutive days, no?
I think it's three and 3 days.
They say one person a day for three consecutive days. It would be then.
Is it three?
Each day.
It's nine.
It's three each day?
Yeah.
Each day.
Yeah.
Is that 1.8%.
Is that what
it's saying? Let's see what it says there. When three people die in three consecutive days.
Well, if it was three altogether, it'd say one each day for 3 days.
This is a plague. Different 106 died.
Much more?
I don't know.
You can read that either way, actually.
Well, it says 1,000 male inhabitants.
Here it says also.
Six people die on three consecutive days. It's considered a plague.
But it doesn't say how many each day.
It would say if it was one a day, Rabbi, it would be versed differently. It'd be one each day for 3 days. Simple.
Yeah, I don't. Again, it's not clear.
Yeah.
It says v'yatzu mimenu shloishim. They brought out three people died every day.
Oh, wait, that's a lot of people. 1,000 people dying a day. That's a major plague in any country.
Right.
Oh yeah, it doesn't happen often.
1,000 people a day.
But if they all die in one day, then it's not. You see, because it's got to be spread out. It's a certain percentage. Three consecutive days.
Rarely you're going
to
see a thousand
people
in one day.
I think it. I think it's not nine. I think it's three,
okay.
And then it says
maybe
six.
Right.
I think that's
maybe
what
you're
I think
right.
it
maybe
is.
Yeah, maybe
it's 1,000 people a day.
Okay, but still, it's a lot.
It does include Gentiles.
What?
There's a footnote.
Yeah, which one? Which footnote says that?
16.
The Rambam writes that the numbers mentioned in this also include Gentiles.
No, there's people too.
Oh, good. They'll spread among Jews or non-Jews. Okay, and Shulchan Aruch Pasen is that way. Okay, good. So that took care of your question,
yeah.
Paul. So much for the clean Jews. Okay? All right?
People are dropping like flies here.
Well, that's a lot. I mean, if it would continue, God forbid, that's a very significant number. I mean, the percentage is still the same. It's 3 out of 500. So it's 0.6%, but you figure if that goes on for 100 days, you're not going to have too many people left, right? So that's a real plague. We don't include women, children, elders who no longer work. In other words, sickly, not as strong people. They're not included in this calculation.
Which would mean the numbers of death are much higher.
Yeah. Because these people are weaker by nature, and that not they may be dying not necessarily because of the plague. So now, yeah, you're right. So if you're if you take 3 million in Toronto, you probably would scoop off
at least
50%, if not more. So then it becomes
bonus.
But even a lower number would constitute a plague. No,
right.
Even a lower number, but then it wouldn't have to be that many. So let's say it was a million from out of a million people would be that number. Still, it'd be significant. Okay. What if there's a plague in Eretz Yisrael? Misanim Shar Golis Shalem. All the other places in the exile and Chutzars fast for them. What if there's a plague in a country outside of Eretz Yisrael? And Veshayaris Hochos Ubos Menul Dina Cheres, and their caravans going from that city to other cities, so other cities feel a connection with them. Shtei Misanos, they both fast. Afbi Shein Rechokos Umizu, even though they're far from each other, they still fast. And again, my footnote over here in my book, I don't know why here, but it could be anywhere, says, but today we don't make these fasts on this type of plagues, because we say that there's a rule, this is said in the Talmud, we say that the nature of people has changed. Now it's more determined that sickness comes more when people aren't eating and drinking. So if there is a plague, if you're fasting, it's going to make it worse.
Yeah, more likely.
That's right. In other words, we're weaker people. So in olden days, when people were stronger, so they fast to do tshuva. But if you're fasting on days where there's already a pestilence going on, that's really bad. And therefore, even on regular fasts, we're lenient when there's a sickness because we're faithful to that. What's he saying over here is like this. He says, in the olden days, people were stronger by nature, so if there was a plague, you fasted. Nowadays, the idea is nishtanativam. The nature of people has changed. This is a famous psak, halacha. A lot of things it says in the Gemara don't apply nowadays because the nature of the world has changed, especially after the 2,000 years of Torah have ended. So the nature was based on Torah, and now it's a different nature. So the point being, so now when people are weaker, fasting would not be a good idea. So, for, you know, the famous story they tell when there was a plague in a certain city, and I believe it was Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, I believe it was Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, maybe the Baal Shem Tov, they made a ruling that nobody could fast on Yom Kippur. Remember, nobody could fast on Yom Kippur.
And this is a
really fast, you know, it's not, right? But there was a plague going on. So they said, you can't fast. And people didn't want to accept the ruling. So Salanter, in shul, after Shacharis, made Kiddush on a piece of cake and wine and ate it in front of everybody on Yom Kippur. So they would take him seriously. So that's why, for this one, for sure, people won't fast because of the danger that's involved. You don't do tshuva at the fact that it'll be harmful to you. You'll do one more, Zion. Now let's go to the wild animals. Now wild animals, it's got to be something that's unusually wild. What happens if you go into a tiger's cage and he eats you? We wouldn't say that there's a terrible situation of animals attacking us. It's got to be obviously where it's not usual for animals to be here. So the Rambam has to qualify this. We don't fast for wild animals unless it's a time where they are mishulachas, on the rampage. I mean to say, it's a godsend. It's not a natural thing. If you meet a hungry lion one day in the jungle, it's not unusual you get eaten up. Think about unusual things. Case it, for example. Near a sub-ba'ir ba'yoyim, you see a lion walking down Bathurst Street. Okay, now that's not usual. Harezu mushlachas. That's mean Hashem is sending the lion down. Right? Near a sub-ba'seda ba'yoyim. What if you see it in the field in the day? Right? So that would not necessarily be a godsend thing, because you may have a lion in the fields over there. But imras or shnei b'nei adam. But what if it sees two people and v'lo barachim them, doesn't run away from them? Well, that's already harezu mishlachas. That's already, you could see it's a godsend, because usually the animal would run away, and if he's not afraid of you. Now but it was a field that was close to a swampy area. And a swampy area is where these wild animals usually live, so it's not unusual to see them in a field next to that. And they saw two people. And they run after the people. Oh, hareza mushlachas. That means they were sent. But lo rat vachareim, but if they don't run after them, ain't a mushlachas, it means it isn't godly sent. And what if they are in a swamp itself? Even if they run after people, ain't a mushlachas, that doesn't mean it's godsend, because that's their stomping grounds. That's where they're at, so that's usual. Elim Cain, unless, then you could, you know, it's godly, Torfash name, they killed two people, but you only ate one of them. Right? Then you could tell it's godly sin, because why isn't he having a full meal? Right? In other words, he's in his domain, you know, and he eats one and not the other. Well, why did you eat them both? Must be it was God sent to kill one. But if he eats both of them in the swamp, that's not a godsend, because this is his place. Because he's hungry, he ate him up. Not because it was sent. So, I mean, if you have a lion on the loose in the city, you know, that would be something to concern yourself with. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll continue
it was a tiger last
tomorrow.
Week stolen in a tiger and two camels.
Pay a ransom.
That trailer. We didn't know what they were stealing, I don't think.